I completely shifted from partying every weekend to getting up at 5 a.m. every single day, studying everything on YouTube that there was to study about online marketing. I built my own online shop. I pursued even an Instagram influencer career, so to say. I built 20,000 followers. So I learned all the crafts in online marketing by myself, by doing the actual work, and also by kind of self-learning, because I didn't kind of study that. I studied international business at the time, so I went on YouTube every day after my classes, and I just learned all the stuff, and that's how I started.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by Audience Plus. Our mission is to shake out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals and stir up fresh conversation, all to help you connect your brand with the right audience at the right time. Let's raise a glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. Jonathan here, co-founder and CEO of Audience Plus. I'm thrilled to be joined by another founder and CEO, Tim Rath of YoYaba. They are a EMEA-based marketing consultancy agency. Really excited to dig into what he's seeing in the marketplace today. They're creating a lot of great content, leading the wave of B2B revenue marketing, doing some of the best work that we've seen to date. So excited to dig into all of that. But Tim, before I ramble too much about you or myself, why don't you introduce yourself in your own words? Tell us a little bit about your background and what you're up to at YoYaba.
Yeah, sure. First of all, thanks for having me, Jonathan. Very excited to being here and sharing some B2B marketing stuff today. So yeah, I've actually co-founded YoYaba together with my dad, which is, I would say, quite an unusual thing to do. But yeah, we're co-founders, so that means I didn't kind of overtake my dad's company or something like that, but we really started together from scratch, which is really cool. And we complement each other really well. And what we do is we work with B2B SaaS and tech companies only, so we do nothing else. We highly specialize on those kinds of companies. Not early stage, but growth and grown-up companies. So we work with companies like HubSpot, TeamViewer, Personio, which is Germany's second most valuable startup currently, and then other big companies like that, usually ranging between 5 to 50 million ARR if they're in a scale-up stage, or they're grown up 50 to hundreds of millions of ARR, even billions in HubSpot terms. So yeah, that's what we do. And we're usually their revenue marketing partner. So we take care of all different sorts of demand gen topics, paid growth mostly, but also organic growth and of course revenue operations to kind of support that alignment between all commercial teams.
I love that. Well, I have a lot of questions about co-founding a business with your dad, but maybe we'll save those for the end because I'm super curious there. But Tim, before we maybe dig into some of those topics you mentioned, this is the Content Cocktail Hour. So we always ask all of our guests, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
Yeah, so here in Hamburg, actually, I live in Hamburg, which is, of course, Germany's most beautiful city, as you know. And summer has kind of started. It's been sunny all week. So I've been enjoying having a glass of rosé. It's for me kind of the start into summer. So yeah, that's what I've been enjoying in the past weekends.
I love that. I'm jealous. I'm in the Midwest here in the States, and it is the high today is 43 degrees Fahrenheit. It's still cold and gray. Yeah. We keep getting like one day of warmth, and we're like, oh, spring is here, and then it goes back and shocks us back into the cold. So I'm jealous of the glass of rosé. Soon though, I hope to be joining you with that. So you mentioned revenue marketing. You know, I think that in and of itself is a pretty interesting term. You mentioned some of the sub kind of topics that go into that, but maybe let's just start there. I feel like revenue marketing, when companies come to you and they are looking for revenue marketing, is that just a new school kind of wording of demand gen, or should all of marketing be revenue marketing? What really makes what you do revenue marketing?
Yeah. So we actually were the first agency worldwide that coined itself revenue marketing agency, not because it's a cool new term or because it's the modern demand gen, so to say, but because we fundamentally think about stuff differently and also execute marketing differently. You probably know there was a big SaaS crash end of 2021, all starting with Dropbox crashing 40% overnight, and it had a big domino effect with lots of other tech companies. And that also kind of revolutionized the way we have to do B2B marketing, because we're not living in a growth at all costs era anymore. We have to look at efficiency, and also we have to look at customer acquisition costs very closely to be able to scale not only fast, but also in a way that it's feasible economically, right, and financially. So that led us to really analyzing how most marketing teams and also agencies did marketing, and they usually only looked at ad accounts, yeah, or metrics that were in those ad accounts, but not really dug deep into the CRM and looked at what's actually driving pipeline and revenue at the end of the day, what's creating business impact and business value. And that's where we at YoYaba, we start there. Yeah. So we work very close in the CRMs of our customers, and we work our way back to then the top funnel channels and ad account metrics. So revenue marketing essentially means that marketing must be accountable at the end of the day for revenue impact, and not for any other kind of metrics that are way further before that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a huge mindset shift, because as a marketer, if you now have the task of kind of winning, let's say, 1 million new AR this quarter instead of collecting 2,000 MQLs, it's a whole different way of thinking that you're now adopting. And it changes everything, yeah? So we've been observing a huge shift, starting with mindset, followed by metrics, and then mechanics. And we support companies with their transformation, because of course you can't just tell a marketer you need to do different stuff. They also need to be incentivized differently, which is why you need new metrics, new North Star metrics. And revenue marketing also means that you're fully aligned with sales to be having the same North Star metrics that you're following. What I've actually experienced, and that's crazy, in the past, like three years ago, there was this time where marketing was popping champagne bottles because they hit their targets like in that quarter, but sales and business targets were not hit by 50%. And I was like, how is that even a reality? How is that possible? But it happens still nowadays, oftentimes, that the one team is celebrating and the other team is not. And that can't be, because at the end of the day, all commercial teams, and that even includes customer success, can only be celebrating together if revenue targets are hit or they're not hit. That's what revenue marketing is about.
That's so good. I love that analogy you gave of marketing celebrating and sales missing. I was about to say, like, I bet the sales leaders that you were at the businesses that you work with have to love the work that you're doing with that mindset. And I love the mindset, metrics, and mechanics. So let's dig into the metrics a little bit, because there you mentioned kind of new North Star metrics, you know, the traditional marketing metrics that a lot of people are still beholden to are pipeline generated, marketing MQLs created, cost per lead. You know, obviously it all comes down to revenue, but I have to imagine there are some other leading indicators that you are advocating for in the work that you do, in addition to the lagging indicator being of revenue closed one.
So I think the first most important thing here to say, and to everyone listening here also to visualize, is the typical funnel that we have, right? So we have the funnel, maybe there's top funnel, middle funnel, bottom funnel, and you can split into MQL, SQL, opportunity, close one. And traditionally, most marketing teams stopped when they collected an MQL. Maybe some advanced companies stopped when they had an SQL, okay? But that was handover day, right? Or handover moment, yeah? That's when you hand over the lead to sales, so they follow along and they close the deal. But that's where the mindset fault kind of kicks in, right? Because now, when you're actually responsible as a marketer, not only to get that SQL, but to get that customer, you need to think about, how can I support on closing the deal? What can I do now? Yeah, maybe I can host a dinner in that enterprise account's city, yeah, to get them on a table to increase win rate and shorten sales cycle, stuff like that. And then it doesn't even stop there, because now when you have a closed customer, it's expansion time, right? As a marketer, you need to think about, how can I retain the account first and foremost, but also then how can I expand it? And so that means it adds a lot more complexity. But at the end of the day, we need to be measured by ARR and revenue, and not any kind of stage of the funnel, so to say. But of course, the first major milestone is closing a new customer together with sales. So close one. And then you have leading indicators that we've been using traditionally all the time. Of course, like opportunity, SQL, etc. But the huge North Star metric and the incentive of marketing teams should be aligned with sales.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier around like the CRM, right? Like working in the CRM and knowing those stages of the funnel really well and having the right process and the right data to be able to know even where you should kind of focus your attention.
The great thing about this is now when you have not hit target, the conversation is not like, okay, whose fault is it? And you have it's that finger pointing and everybody's pulling out their own dashboards, which shows a completely different reality, right? Those were the old times. Yeah. Modern companies that have adopted this mindset metrics and approach, now they sit in the meeting, and they're like, okay, so we're under target. Yeah. Let's identify where the funnel breaks off most, where the gaps most, where's the smoke coming out, so to say. Right. Okay. And now maybe it's the final stage, right? Maybe the final conversion rate when you're already in procurement is not good enough. So now every commercial team can ask themselves, what can I do to help that become better? Yeah. To increase conversion rate with that specific funnel stage. And of course, in every funnel stage, the initiative and the mechanics would look different for every team, but that's how you should approach it. If you're sitting in the revenue team together, everybody needs to ask themselves, how can I help to improve this? And not, this is your fault, fix it.
That's so good. You have to speak the same language that requires the same data, work from the same dashboard.
Oftentimes early pipe is not good. And usually it's like, okay, marketing, you're not collecting enough pipeline. Right. But sales can also help here. And also customer success, when they're talking to customers, they can ask for intros and support and open more deals and opportunities. So there's a lot more co-creation happening if you have this mindset and this approach than traditionally.
So then where does brand marketing sit in all of this? You know, I feel like it's a classic debate to be like brand versus demand marketing, brand versus revenue marketing. Like how do you either work alongside of brand or is it kind of compartmentalized?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of things to say about this. So brand would not be part of revenue marketing.
Right.
Because it's a little, it's way more long-term thinking than you would have in revenue marketing. In revenue marketing, you're much more focusing on ROI, on impact, on revenue impact together with sales, which is more kind of mid and short-term focus. And this is also where we help. So we're not an agency that crafts out these huge brand campaigns that are put on billboards around the world or kind of sponsor any kind of sports team. That's not what we do. However, you could argue that everything that's not directly attributable to any of the initiatives that you do, that would be the impact of brand.
Right.
That's how you could see it also.
I like that. I appreciate the kind of acknowledgement that like, hey, we're not going to force brand into the revenue marketing umbrella. It's going to complement it or kind of be separate. And then I think that's some restraint that is good.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned you're working with growing companies going from 5 to 50 million, 50 million plus, 100 million plus.
Yeah.
You know, the majority of businesses that start don't reach those thresholds.
Yeah.
So maybe what advice, what lessons have you learned for businesses, and maybe this is a selfish question, that have reached that kind of velocity of growth? Like what pattern recognition do you see in their marketing, their go-to-market function that it's like, okay, this is part of what makes these businesses successful that maybe even younger businesses could learn from?
It's definitely having very strong product market fit. That's the most important thing you need to focus on below 10 million ARR. I think only when you've hit 10 million ARR, you can truly talk about true product market fit.
Yeah.
Not before that, even though 5 million ARR is already a substantial business, right? But I think getting there is important. And after product market fit is a message market fit. And companies that grow very fast have definitely nailed that. So they know they have a product that has hit product market fit, but they also know how they need to now go into market with the right message for the right persona at the right time in order to create demand, capture demand, and then convert that demand. And that can be a little bit different for all channels, but at the end of the day, they have one transparent, full strategic narrative that spans across all the communication channels and all the commercial teams, marketing, sales, and customer success. They tell the same story and they know their narrative all the time. Even if they would be waking up at the middle of the night, they know this is the story we're saying, and it needs to be visible across all the different channels. Because oftentimes I see companies, you look at their LinkedIn ads, then you look at their website, then you look at their cold outbound emails, then you look at their content, and everything's telling a different story because it's sitting in different teams. And the most successful companies, they have an aligned story and aligned strategic narrative, and you can truly feel their identity in everything that you see.
I love that. I love that. Product market fit, message market fit. I think a lot of times we maybe misprioritize those, or just like think like, oh, we've reached 5 million. Like, we have product market fit. Yeah. But I like that 10 million kind of threshold even. It's a high bar.
Yeah. I think a great example actually is the company that we work with, Personio. I'm not sure if you know it. It's the, it's the second most valuable German startup. They do several hundreds of millions in ARR, and they are like 2,000 people now. So they're very fast growing companies, and they've just done a complete rebrand of their whole identity, including new product launches. And in everything that you see now on their website, personio.com, you always have the message of unlocking the power of people. Yeah, it's reinforced so many times, and it's communicated in many different formats and perspectives, but it always comes together to that one strategic narrative. I think that's one key element to growing very fast.
And that goes back to what you were saying around marketing and sales being aligned, right? And like, they need to be saying the same thing in addition to using the same data, using the same dashboard. So full circle there. I think that's great. Okay, you mentioned this earlier, and I'm fascinated. You co-founded a business with your dad.
I did.
Tell us how that happened. I'm fascinated to hear a little bit of your founding story.
So I was a student. I partied hard, as all students do.
Don't we all?
Part of the experience. Yeah. So I had the good life. I used to have the good life. I did that for 1 year, and then I kind of had an epiphany, so to say, and I kind of found a mission for my life, because I had a good, deep conversation with my dad for 2 weeks in summer, and he kind of opened the world to me of how you can create a business or build a business in the online space, and I was fascinated by that because it suggested that I could potentially do work from anywhere where I wanted to. Now the reality is, I'm sitting in a 1,000-square-meter office in Hamburg with 60 people on our team, but that's for a different day. I mean,
careful what you sign up for.
Yeah. So it kind of took a different direction at the end of the day, but I think freedom is a very, very big value for me, and that's what grabbed me. Yeah, what motivated and inspired me to pursue that path, because potentially I could be flying anywhere I wanted to next week. If I really wanted to, and I could still be working. So I think that having that freedom as it was and still until this day is important to me. And after 1 year of studying, I completely shifted from partying every weekend to getting up at 5 a.m. every single day, studying everything on YouTube that there was to study about online marketing. I built my own online shop. I pursued even an Instagram influencer career, so to say. I built 20,000 followers. So I learned all the crafts in online marketing by myself, by doing the actual work, and also by kind of self-learning, because I didn't kind of study that. I studied international business at the time. So I went on YouTube every day after my classes, and I just learned all the stuff. And that's how I started. And then eventually we're like, hey, why don't, after my bachelor's finish, we start something together? Because my dad also had the vision of starting a company with younger people that still have a fresh mindset that you can that you can form, right? That you can work with. So that was his vision. And now we have 60 people here, all super ambitious and motivated. I would say we have the best B2B marketers in Europe in our team. I'm inspired by them every single day. And yeah, it's really cool.
That's awesome. That is an inspiring story. Kudos to you and your dad for breathing life into it all. That's really awesome. Did the hard work and it's paying off. So congratulations there.
Yes.
Okay, Tim, this is the last question that we always ask all of our guests. What's an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
Unpopular opinion. I think AI is not the future.
All right.
I think human-led content is the future. Authentic stories are the future. I think the biggest B2B brands in the next years will be the ones that understand the value of personality in their content and that execute really well of building personal brands that transport the message of the company. And they do that in different formats, cool formats that are entertaining, like this podcast, maybe like some TV shows, maybe some whatever crazy thing there is. But I think the best B2B brands, they will create more human authentic content, and that's what will be the future, I think.
That's really cool. That's another kind of inspiring answer there. I think, you know, in this world of AI, the human and the personality will really stand out when there's so much other kind of AI generated noise. So
to add on that, I found it really fascinating how Salesforce announced their Agentforce product, AI product. Do you know how they did it?
I've seen them advertising it, but I'm not sure exactly how they launched
it. So traditionally, if you were such a big company, how they would launch it is they would probably work with several PR agencies globally to get it all in the press on the day of the release, right? And you would pay like a six-figure budget for it, like at least for it. What they did is Mark Benioff, founder and CEO, posted his first ever LinkedIn post announcing launch of Agentforce.
Fascinating.
They then used that organic LinkedIn post and pushed it globally with thought leader ads into all of their accounts so they would see the news from the founder itself. And that's human-led content.
Yeah.
And that's different than to being kind of put into in the press, hey, Salesforce just launched the Agentforce, blah, blah, blah. And since then, he's been every week posting on LinkedIn. And I think there's a huge opportunity to also use LinkedIn with your founders for PR news.
Yeah, man, that's fascinating. I actually worked at Salesforce a while ago. They've kind of become a lightning rod for what you think of B2B SaaS, but you know, they're obviously doing all right. And I think that's a really fascinating kind of nuance in how they shifted their go-to-market and some of their product launch. So I appreciate that example. That's really cool. I'm gonna dig into that a little bit more. Well, Tim, if people want to learn more from you or learn more about YoYaba, what's the best way to do that?
YoYaba.com. It's spelled YoYaba. That's how you spell YoYaba. But I would also love to connect with anyone on LinkedIn. I share a lot of content. I love chatting about B2B marketing, about nerdy modern strategies. So if anybody wants to connect, feel free to hit me up.
Appreciate that. I would encourage everybody to do that. We will get both of those links in the show notes here. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. To all of our watchers, to all of our listeners, thanks for joining another content cocktail hour. Until next time, same place. Cheers.
Thanks so much, Jonathan. Cheers.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by Audience Plus. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us at audienceplus.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.